Welcome back to Forward Pressing, episode 78. It is currently Wednesday, October 12th. I am Kevin, your host. I got Yanis over here. How are you doing, Yanis?
I'm doing good. How are you feeling?
I am not doing good. I may or may not have a concussion because I hit my head on the squat rack today. So, I'm an idiot, but we'll try and record and get it out there for everybody. I'm going to talk about some Champions League today, talk about some Premier League over the weekend, maybe some Mbappe drama once again. Mbappe always in the news, not always for the best things. Is it real? Who knows? But we're going to talk about it. Let's start with Prem, right? Arsenal, big win. Like, huge win.
Another big win.
I mean, did you guys feel like you were the favorites going in or not?
For the first time in a while against the Liverpool team, yeah, I felt like we were going to be the favorites.
Yeah, Liverpool just ain't it right now.
They're not it right now, but we got to talk about them later eventually another time because it's a case of like, there's a lot of issues there, but I didn't expect us to. I expected a good game from us. I think we had a good run. And like I said, Liverpool were kind of on the downhill. And for the first time in a while, I expected to have a good result against them just because of how, especially after that win against Spurs, obviously us being first. I had a good feeling about this game.
I mean, Martinelli showed up, right? He played a great game. Saka had a great game. I think those were like the two MVPs for me. I mean, Saka gets the brace, right? Two goals. I mean, one of them is a penalty, but still. Martinelli, one goal, one assist. I know Luis Diaz got injured. I don't know. Is that long term?
I think it's... he's not playing. I think he'll be out till the World Cup. Till the end of the World Cup, so he'll be out for a while.
That's a pretty big deal for a Liverpool squad that's already like kind of struggling offensively since the departure of Mane. They really haven't been the same, eh? We're kind of seeing how important he was to the team.
It's critical. Like, you could tell that the team isn't the same without him. Like, it's pretty obvious. And like, Darwin Nunez hasn't hit yet. He's not who he said. I mean, it hasn't worked out yet for them. But Salah did not. I mean, Salah looks like a shell of himself too. Like, he got dominated, like he was got manhandled by Tomiyasu, who by the way had a great game at left back where he doesn't usually play for us. I think that's one thing that I wanted to comment on as well, is like how versatile we have in terms of like a back four. Having Tomiyasu at left back and Ben White at right back. I mean, these are all four of our center backs basically played. We had a back four of complete center backs, and it just tells you how flexible and how many options we can essentially get with those players. I think Tomiyasu being two-footed was a big asset and why he played that game. Not just for the fact that he's a great defender, but he can also be a good playmaker for the midfield and kind of play those ball in the open space for Martinelli or even Saka to run off of. Ben White has been solid at right back ever since the season started. And we talked about it earlier, like with the three, I think Trent, Walker, and Reece James got injured. So watch out. Maybe Ben White comes in there in that England squad and like be the surprise right back.
Could you imagine? That'd be pretty funny, actually.
It'd be funny. I think he has a chance to actually make it. I don't think it will happen, but I think his chance is there. It'd be funny if it happens, but if it does, he's shown that
he's better as a center back or as a right back.
I like him more as a center back, honestly. I was surprised to see him at right back when he started, but it worked.
I guess it was more of like out of need than anything else, and then it kind of just stuck, I guess, because it was working out.
Yeah, because usually Tomiyasu would play right back. I even honestly, I kind of like Tomiyasu at center back as well, from what I saw with when he played for like Genoa, even when the national team he played center back. So he's known for like being very versatile, so it works out for him. Ben White, I didn't see Ben White much as a right back when he played for Leeds or even for Brighton. He usually played as a center back, and that's where like his playmaking ability was kind of like seen and how good of a defender he was. So being him being good at right back or being that efficient at right back, I didn't expect, but I'm happy that it worked out for him. I think it also helps helps with him and Saka on the same flank. That might be a thing for England.
Is it time for us to be worried about Liverpool making the top four? I know they have been out of it, but we've kind of always kind of like thought like they'll figure it out at some point, like, right? There's like no way Liverpool doesn't make the top four. But now, I don't know, man. There's a lot of teams that are like doing really well. I mean, like Arsenal, Man City, Spurs, Chelsea, like United are picking it up again. Like all these squads feel like they're competing for that top four, and Liverpool just feels like really far off from all of these teams.
I wouldn't be surprised. The way they're set up now, unless they kind of have... unless they somewhat bring like 3 or 4 players in the winter that can have a massive impact like immediately, I don't see them making the top four. I had them third. I mean, Europa League even might be a stretch because like the other teams are also like United. I don't know. Depending on how United and the others do, but like even the West Ham, the Leeds, the Brighton is in form. Like and
Newcastle too.
Newcastle too. Like you can't sleep on those teams. Like they're right now. They might all be better than Liverpool. So it's going to be a big transfer window for them.
Do you think it takes some money in the transfer window to change things up, or do you think internally they can do something? Because they have a lot of offensive weapons, but it kind of just feels like nobody, it's not meshing at all and nothing is working. Doesn't help that Salah looks like he fell off completely.
Yeah, I think they definitely need transfers in January. Honestly, they probably should have made transfers in the summer. Not just Darwin Nunez, they could have brought like a couple more players. They brought Arturo like last minute. I don't think it worked out. I don't think it's working because apparently the club doesn't really see him as an asset or as he sees more of as a liability. But they definitely needed players in the summer, and now it kind of shows. Like you can tell, like the midfield isn't what it used to be, and Salah can't really carry Liverpool by himself like he used to do as well. Because I mean, he had Mane to help, and Mane was probably taking a lot of pressure off of him, but now that he's the only one, because Firmino, even though he scored, isn't the Firmino that he used to be. And like we said, Luis Diaz is good, but he doesn't have the production that Kamani has.
Luis Diaz, Darwin Nunez, like they did bring in players, right? Are they going to bring in more attackers?
I think they have to. Not just attackers, but especially in the midfield. I think that's what they're really lacking right now. Like Jordan and Henderson and Thiago aren't really the best pivot if you want for the Liverpool system to work. You need them to be able to run, and I don't think Jordan and Henderson has the legs for that.
They have Fabinho. I mean, last season that's what it was.
That's what it was, but he's not there right now. And even when he comes back, he's not gonna be. Like, think about it too. Like, there's.
Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about Fabinho. Like, he's not what he. He's playing, but is he?
I mean, he's playing. Is a year older again.
Yeah, but is he what he? He's a year old. Everybody's thing is, it's not even Fabinho the issue. To me, I think the main one is Henderson that hasn't looked like it's himself so far this season.
I mean, he's been kind of like on the decline a couple times, right? I think he's one of those guys that like everybody always says he's overrated, but always ends up being like in a squad. He's like the England captain and everything like that, right? Like, so he has like that presence about him that kind of feels like you have to put him in the squad. But ends up being like a liability at some point. But you're kind of like you're too invested in him, and he is too important, like Maguire, pretty much, but for different reasons. Like Maguire's big price tag, Man United captain, but he's like god awful for the team. But you're kind of forced to put him in there every time.
You said something there about Jordan Henderson like being too invested in him. I think that might be like club's issue. Of like I was listening to this podcast today, and they were talking about Liverpool and how there was an issue with like Klopp and like loyalty, and maybe that he's loyal to too many of their players. Even though there's gotta be a time where you gotta say like you gotta change things up, but he's not willing to do
that.
You
think that could be like a really big issue for Klopp? Because I mean, if they don't make Europa League, like I don't think they're gonna sack him, right? But I mean, that's honestly not good. It kind of puts you on the hot seat, right?
Yeah, I think he'll survive the year. If Liverpool like doesn't like collapse completely, I mean today they won 7-1, so it kind of tells you. I mean, even though it was Rangers, they're not that off, but they definitely.
I mean, I'm sure that'll help their confidence.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely the performance they needed to bounce back, but like in terms of what to expect in the Prem, like don't expect Champions League if you're a Liverpool fan. Like I would be surprised unless like they do some moving in January. And I don't even know. Honestly, I don't know who they bring in because I don't really see.
It doesn't really feel like there's anybody available right now.
Yeah. I mean, they have the scouting network. They'll probably figure that part out. But maybe the Bundesliga. There's got to be someone in the Bundesliga or even like Ligue 1 where you can figure out like a couple, through two or three signings that can effectively help your squad for the rest of the season. Because if it doesn't happen, like if Salah gets injured once, like it's a wrap.
Is there let's talk about United. I mean, big win over Everton. Kind of needed that after the Europa League display. A little bit. I feel like it wasn't our best.
And the City loss.
Yeah, and the City loss, obviously. But I feel like that was kind of expected. I mean, City just looks like they're the best team in the world right now. I mean, with Haaland, like, can anybody stop him? Who knows? But I mean, I think what we saw, like, I'm not worried about the City loss. Like, we're still a team that's learning. We were on a little bit of a win streak, but I think we all knew that we're still, like, learning and kind of getting the grasp on the new system and doing what the coach wants and everything like that. But obviously playing a City team that's been under the same management for a long time now, has a lot of the same players, and just brings in, like, a jolt of arguably one of the best players in the world, Haaland, who's on pace to break every Premier League record. I can't be too upset with that that showing there. But against Everton, I thought it was a really good thing. Ronaldo scores. It was a tight game, honestly. Ronaldo comes on for Martial, who got injured, which is unfortunate. Casemiro, I thought, had a good game. Probably his best game as a United player to date. Antony still showing up, which was nice to see. Antony's been a good signing. I mean, I'm always worried with signings recently because United have had a history of, like, signing players and them not panning out and kind of, like, us being told, like, we're the ones that ruined them. So it's nice to see, like, you know, Sancho coming in and being good, even when the whole team was bad, and Antony too. Just means that we're making good signings now, and the manager knows what he's doing.
I was going to ask, first of all, I mean, it was a great win for United. I'm happy for Cristiano because there was a kind of this big pressure, big weight on his shoulder of, like, him not having scored in a while. So he got that out of the way. So congratulations on the 700 for him. And Antony has been impressing me since he started. I didn't expect him to be this good this early. I thought the Arsenal goal was kind of a fluke, but then he scores against City and then obviously against Everton again. I think he might have more goals than Salah, which it's kind of funny to think about. Yeah. But the other thing, though, you said that the Martial injury is big because I feel like he's the better as a striker. Because I was going to ask you, like, you think the better who's the better striker for United? Like, is it Martial or is it Rashford?
When Martial's firing on all cylinders, he's probably the better, more prototypical striker. And I think Rashford's best position is on the wing. But I think both of them are kind of similar where they can play on the wing and on up top. But I think ideally you want Rashford on the wing and Martial up top. I think that's the goal.
Martial up top, yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I initially, when he started his career with, like, you know, when he got to United, I thought he was going to be like a winger for sure. To me, he looked like was.
They were already comparing him to Thierry Henry when he signed for us.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. But as I see him more progressively, like, he doesn't play, when he plays for France, he never played, like, up top. He's always played on the wing. So that's why I was kind of, like, used to seeing on the wing.
Yeah, but because France has Mbappe.
Well, not just Mbappe, but amongst Benzema and Giroud and a lot of options, basically.
Let's talk about Mbappe, though. I mean, you've seen what's happening.
Bruh. Well, have I heard? I've been sending you messages about this entire
week. I know. Apparently, something happened, and now he wants out, like, absolutely in January after he just signed this massive contract where he could have left right before. Like, it's just a lot of, like, what the frick is happening? So,
my understanding is that he's not happy, or there's something in the contract that was promised to him in the contract that hasn't been, like, I guess, fulfilled.
Do we know what it is, or what it was mentioned?
I don't know what it is, because I think there was a talk about them getting a striker, because he ideally would want to play in a system kind of like how he does with a national team when he plays with Giroud, like a two-striker system, and he just has to run, basically does the running around Giroud, and him having Giroud as a hold-up striker. So he wanted them to, like, buy a four for him, technically. And then that didn't really happen. They got a striker, but he's an up-and-coming striker. He's not, like, a experienced, like, proven forward, right? So that's not really who they wanted. And they got him on loan, too, so that was kind of, like, last minute. But that wasn't really fulfilled. And he doesn't like the system that he's playing in right now, which I don't really understand, because every game that I've seen with PSG, like, he's looked, outside of the last one, maybe, he looked good. Like, the system worked. The team works. Like, him, Messi, and Neymar have never been this, like, it's never been this cohesive, this coherent between the two of them. The three of them, sorry.
That's the thing, like, you kind of just assume that everything would be all right because, I mean, on paper, you're playing with, like, two of the greatest players in the world. If you're an Mbappe, you're playing with Messi and Neymar on a regular basis. Like, these are world-class players. PSG has, like arguably one of the best teams on paper in the world. They're always Champions League favorites every year. Like, so you kind of like, it's, I don't know what to make about all these things that are coming out about his situation being unhappy and all that. Like, a lot of it seems like it's fake and just drawn up and he's not saying anything, but like, I don't know, man. We just had this whole drama in the summer about, is he going to leave? Is he going to stay? Like, he's leaving for sure. 1000% Real Madrid is making him sign immediately. And then, oh no, PSG is giving him the whole club. He can do whatever the fuck he wants. And he's staying. And now it's like a couple of months later, he's just like, I want to leave right now. So it's like, I don't know. It's all over the place. And you kind of don't know what to believe.
It's hard for me to believe that he wants to leave. Like, I think he signed the contract in July or June or something like that. And if we're like mid-October. It's only been what? It's been, what is that, 3 months? Like, how does you... It's hard for me to believe that he wants to leave after 3 months. Honestly, it's got to be something very big for him to, like, legitimately wanting to leave. Like, I do not want to be here. Which, I don't... I mean, I think there's a lot of things that we don't know. Even the last thing I sent you about, like, the fake Twitter accounts that are creating stories about him, and that apparently are, like, were, like, hired by PSG himself, which makes absolutely no sense. Because why would PSG would trying to sabotage their best player or their own player?
Yeah, it's very weird. I'm sure there's some like weird reason that somebody could like try to fucking explain, but I don't know.
I'm just gonna wait for Romain Molina, see what he comes up with.
Man's always got the dirt, right?
He's got the news. He's got the leaks. I wonder what he comes up with, because this makes no sense. Like, there's legitimately no...
Has he said anything about the situation or not even, not yet?
And they played yesterday. They didn't win, but he scored. I think he scored. I think it was 1-1 against Benfica. He scored. He looked good. They haven't lost. I don't think they've lost a game so far this season.
I mean, with that team, it's hard to. If they're trying, for them, it's just they have to care, right? Like, for them, like, the league is, like, always in the bag. So they just have to play games that makes them care. Because for them, like, it's just Champions League or bust every year, pretty much. Just that's their league.
Like, I don't understand the issue that he would leave. And then he says that he wants to play in a system that he does with, like, Giroud. But he doesn't even play with Giroud that much in the national team. Like, he plays with Benzema for the most part. So how does that... Like, even if Giroud plays, it'll be as a sub. He won't be a starter. And then the games that we saw with him and Benzema played together, they look great. They won the Nations League like that.
Yeah, but maybe he's not happy with the style. I'm not sure.
Bro, it's weird. And then there was that rumor about him.
If any of this is real with Mbappe, it kind of just makes him seem a little bit spoiled. And kind of just like a little bit of a...
Ego-driven.
Yeah, very ego-driven. But maybe it's just how we're perceiving things. Like, we don't... Honestly, there's so many things in the media right now. We can't really... pick and choose what you want to believe or not, because the narratives can go
either way. I feel like it's going to be a wars of like narratives of what do you want to like, what do you want Mbappe to be or stuff like that. Honestly, at this point, like even with all those rumors and stuff, I think it's best to give him the benefit of the doubt. The guy hasn't said anything, and he doesn't seem like the guy that would just leave. I mean, we don't know the character, right? But it just doesn't feel...
He hasn't really seemed like an ego guy, though. That's the thing.
Exactly. That's the thing, yeah. And even, I think, was it Ferdinand that said that recently? Like, he doesn't seem...
Yeah, it was Ferdinand.
Like, I met with him, like, a year ago, and the stories that are coming out now doesn't, like, seem to represent him as a person. So, it's like, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. Hopefully, there's more clarity in the future. Like I said, let's wait to see what Romain Molina says, because he always has the news when it comes to PSG and him being so close to France. I mean, him being in Paris, really. But there's a lot to unpack here, and hopefully a lot of this is, like, actual fake.
Yeah, I think it is. It's got to be. If it was, like, even a little bit more real, I feel like a lot more people would be talking about it.
True, but if it's fake, if it's coming from the actual club itself, it's fucked. If that is the actual case, then I understand why he would want to leave.
Yeah. Agreed. Or maybe somebody's trying to blackmail the club or something. I don't know.
Which is even... I mean, yeah, that's... There's so much here. I really hope there's more clarity in the future, because it does not look good for anybody in the situation. Nobody at all. PSG is not a... I mean, it's so much drama comes out of PSG, like, lately.
I mean, that's what happens when you're a team that's that expensive and not winning anything.
And, yeah. I mean, it's more of a brand than a club at this point. Champions League?
Yeah, Champions League. I mean, Liverpool won today, right? Big win for them. Just taking care of business. That was a game that they were supposed to win.
They needed that.
Barca Inter was a big one today because that ended in a draw.
Advantage Inter?
I mean, most definitely, right? Like, it was 2-2 until the 89th minute, and then it was 3-2 Inter and 3-3 again because Lewandowski tied it up in extra time. And then after that, in 7 minutes extra time, Inzaghi gets a red card. Like, this game was, like, crazy. I mean, Lewandowski is a beast, first of all. He still got it. But this Barca team, I don't know. I'm a little bit worried.
I think it's the Barca defense.
Exactly. I'm a little bit worried about that defense. I mean, Piqué is a shadow of who he was once.
Piqué looks horrible on the first goal. You see how he... I don't know if you saw how he sees the ball. He looks at the ball, like, says that the keeper is coming for it. He basically doesn't react. But doesn't see... I think it was Barella behind him, and that was that. Yeah,
I think the only bright spots for Barca are the young players that they have, like Gavi, Rafinha, Dembele, Pedri. Like, these guys are...
In fact, Dembele looks good, bro.
He looks really good. Besides Lewandowski, I think he was their best player.
Yeah, I pray he doesn't get injured for the World Cup, bro. Because if he gets injured too, holy... If he gets injured, you know he's not going to be... This is the best Dembele the Barca have seen in, like, since he signed, I think. Because he's a healthy Dembele is a dangerous thing. I've been telling people this. He's a dangerous player. He might be...
Who do you think should have won this game?
Honestly, Inter. I thought Inter folded at the end. I thought they were going to get the points. They should have. They even got, like, two big chances after 3-3 in the 90 minutes.
I think at this point, Barca's not making it out of the group. With two games left, they're 3 points behind Inter. Bayern is still undefeated at the top. So they're basically fighting with Inter right now for that second spot. And Inter just beat them and is three points ahead. I don't know how you don't want to call it. Like, Inter play... The worst team. They played the worst team in their group.
Victoria Plzen.
Yeah, that's a win. And if they win that game, it's over.
If that's all they need.
And then they play Bayern, whereas Barca plays Bayern and Victoria as well. So Barca need to beat Bayern and Victoria. They need to win both, whereas Inter just needs to win one, and they're both playing the worst team in the group. Who's at negative 13 goal differential and has zero wins, zero draws, and four defeats.
So it's that Bayern game that is big for Barca. They need to get that win there. And it's Bayern, so it is possible.
I mean, it's possible that Bayern are going to not play their whole team because, I mean, they already have the first place settled. But
I would be surprised if they just play, like, the B team. Like, I think if it wasn't for the injuries... If it wasn't for injuries, I think they would probably start the A team, just because it is Barca. It's a big game in Munich. Like, I don't think you would play your bench against that. Even though you have the qualifier already, I'd be surprised if they played on bench. Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, advantage Inter, but you never know. Like, Barca might shock. Lewandowski is coming back to Munich too. Like, that's a big thing.
They're gonna get rocked. They're gonna get rocked like the first time.
I can't call it. I don't know. I know I'm being stubborn here, but I can't call it yet.
I mean, what are the percent are you putting it at?
I think the odds are in Inter's favor, but like 70-30?
I think it's way more than that.
You're like 90-10?
Let's talk about a different group that's a little bit closer as well. Like, I think Napoli and Liverpool are pretty much sailed out as top two.
Yeah, Napoli...
I don't think Ajax is making it out.
Yeah, I'm surprised by how bad... I was out play by Napoli the last two games.
Rangers have one goal, 16 goals against. They are the worst team in all the Champions League, worse than Victoria Plzen.
Both Scottish teams are actually struggling. Even Celtic lost yesterday against Leipzig, even though they played pretty well. Celtics tries hard, but they just can't get the goal. I'm kind of sad about it. I kind of like Celtic's chance of making it maybe in the Europa League and stuff. But Rangers, bro, it's not looking good. It's not looking good. It's a wrap.
I know it's done. I mean, it's like it's kind of always hit or miss with these Scottish teams, right? Like, it's either they turn up and they're doing well, or it's just like the complete opposite and they're like completely outclassed.
But Napoli looks like the fun team to watch right now. Like, I don't know if you saw the highlights with him and them and Ajax today.
I didn't see the highlights for that game actually.
Like Kvaratskhelia, Kvaratskhelia is, bro, he's might be the best youngster, best like top five winger in the world right now. They look good. They might be like the 2018-2019 Ajax. That might be them this year.
What about Club Brugge, who get another point
against Atletico?
Against Atletico in Atletico too. Like they were playing in Madrid.
That's a big point.
That pretty much settles Brugge to qualify, at least top two.
At this point, yeah. At least top two for sure.
I mean, I don't think they can finish outside of top two right now. So, mathematically, they haven't conceded a goal yet.
They haven't conceded a single goal, which is crazy.
In four games, they haven't conceded a goal.
And even Tayshaun, we said Tayshaun didn't play last week. He played again. He actually played that game. He played again. He played right, left wing back? It's interesting. I see the formation here. It says that he's playing left back. I think it was more so left wing back. Every time he plays, he's been as a wing back, so. Kudos to him getting some Champions League minutes. So at least he's back. We know he's back in form, so that's good.
He got subbed out. I don't think it was his best game, but I mean, it's just nice to see a Canadian player on the world stage.
Well, 84, 85th minute, then if you've played for an hour and more, you got your time. You did your thing.
Yeah, no. At that point, it's they had a red card too, I'm pretty sure.
There was a red card in that game. It wasn't him. It was one of their forwards.
No, yeah, not him. He got subbed out after the red card. That's why I think it was. That's the reason why they took him out.
Oh, okay.
Double yellow. But yeah, I mean, that's the most impressive story for the Champions League this season.
I agree. No, that's no question for sure. I didn't expect Bruges to be like a contender.
You're looking right now. I mean, we still have some games. Two games left for each group. But who's your sleeper pick right now? That's not a Man City or PSG or something. Like a dark horse. You know how like Ajax made it run a couple years ago?
Oh, it's definitely Napoli.
You think? But I feel like Napoli is kind of one of the top teams now. Like they're 4-0 right now, right? They're the only one of they're one of few teams that haven't lost a game yet.
But when people had like dark horses and like the favorites to win it, nobody said Napoli.
No, but right now, knowing what you know, I mean, Juve's extreme disappointment. I think their manager is getting sacked.
I think they want to sack him, but they can't because of like financial, like contractual obligations and stuff.
Like they are really bad in the league. They are really bad in the Champions League. It's not looking great at all.
Mm-hmm. Even I mean, City didn't play Haaland yesterday, but they still got. I mean, it was 0-0. It was a little controversy here and there, but City didn't look so good yesterday. My dark horse. I mean, if you don't want me to say Napoli, I think it has to be Club Brugge. Or Marseille. Marseille did well as well.
I think maybe Spurs.
Spurs is a good pick. They did well against today as well. Against Frankfurt. Son got two goals, I think.
Son got two goals, yeah, and one of them. And Harry Kane scored a penalty, so. Son is just that guy.
Did he score or did he miss? I thought he missed.
He scored.
Oh, he scored. Okay, yeah. Spurs as a dark horse isn't that bad. Yeah, I think you have a good point there. I think it's a realistic dark horse. Like, they could actually do something. But, I mean, Napoli looks too good to me to not put them in that conversation.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the next games. I'm looking forward to some Europa League for United. We play Omonia Nicosia again tomorrow. So, we're going to see how that goes. You guys are playing. Who are you guys playing?
Bodø Glimt, yeah. I know Jesus is not playing that game.
Bodø Glimt. Dude, we'll wrap it up on this, but the Europa League is going to be stacked now with all these teams that are not making the Champions League. The Europa League is going to be lit.
Yeah, you might have Barca, you're going to get either Barca or Inter, and you're going to get...
Milan, too. Like, Milan may end up there, because it looks like they may qualify with Chelsea and Salzburg ahead of them. Like,
that's disappointing to me. I am so disappointed in Milan again, bro.
Sevilla's going to be back in the Europa League, like...
Oh, so we know who's going to win it, then.
Yeah, pretty much, right?
That's always even though Sevilla looks horrible.
Juve is gonna be in there.
Oh, that's true. Juve is gonna be in there too.
The Europa League is gonna look like the Champions League. Not gonna lie.
Low key, I'm surprised that Milan is going down if it actually happens.
Yeah, because they look really bad actually.
I get they got a red card against Chelsea in the second game, but like, bro, you should have that first game. That should have been a win. That should have been a win. We mentioned, I know we were going to talk about, I think I mentioned Tejan and like him not being injured anymore, but like Fonzie is injured too now against,
Yeah, he got kicked in the face. I don't think it's going to be that, I don't think he's that long.
I hope not. There's been a lot of injuries like lately. I think Dybala, Messi, and someone else from Argentina, Di Maria as well.
Yeah, I saw that.
Bro, there's so many.
As long as these guys get healthy for the World Cup.
World Cup is a month away?
I think it starts like mid-November, so...
Bro, we gotta watch out for these injuries, man. It's gonna be a big impact. It's gonna be a big factor in, like, the squad and what happens.
For sure, because these are some big names.
Yeah, and even, like, on the way back as well, like, when they come back, it's gonna be so tired. I think that's my issue with Arsenal right now, is, like, we're looking great, and everything and everyone looks good, but, like, what about the depth? What about the depth after the World Cup? That's gonna be an issue because you gotta stay healthy. After the 11, it's a problem when it comes to the bench and stuff. But we'll see. We'll figure it out. Believe in Arteta, bro.
He's looking good. I was not one that believed last year and how last year finished, but this year he's making me eat my words, and I'm here for it. I think the league is better off when Arsenal's doing well, as long as the fans don't get too crazy, and we know they can beat. So. Arsenal and United need to be at the top because none of this
Man City. No, don't. That's it. We're not going to see the end of it. We aren't going to see the end of that.
Hey, they can take it. Yeah, I mean, they got the money and they got the culture to do it. So we'll see. I think this is their year for maybe a treble. Who knows? All right, that's gonna wrap it up.
Hot take.
Episode 78 in the books. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. Really appreciate it. Hopefully, I wasn't too
get well soon, Kev. Get well soon.
Yeah, I'm going to try to go to bed right now. We'll see how that goes. But hopefully I don't like throw up or something. Yeah, but yeah, thanks for rocking with us.
Can you throw up in the
concussion? I mean, I feel a little bit nauseous. We'll see. That'll wrap it up. Hope to see you guys next week. Thanks for listening.
Peace.